Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, a podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 307, season 13. Today's date is February 18th, 2024, and welcome to the program. On today's show, I will talk about the Limelight / Excalibur nightclub in Chicago, and I will do my best to explain the history of this nightclub and my memories of this place. Also, I'll talk about Jell-O Pudding Pops. I miss those. Those were awesome. And I'll talk about a little history of that and my memories of that as well. But first, the program will go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by Signal Mouthwash. I remember this product. So here's a commercial from 1979. And so sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the program, folks. Thank you.
Just had a hamburger loaded with onions.
Kiss me.
Onions?
Hey, kiss me. I got the Signal.
Mmm, minty.
Signal mouthwash fights strong mouth odors.
I just ate garlic bread. Kiss me.
Garlic?
Come on, kiss me. I got the Signal.
Hey, nice.
Signal fights strong mouth odors. Even garlic, even onions, gives you fresher, cleaner breath. Clinical tests prove it. A kiss will prove it.
Kiss me. I got the Signal.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Signal Mouthwash. This product came out late 70s, and then until the 80s. You know, back then, it was on television, the commercials, that is, there was like a fierce competition between mouthwashes. I remember Scope, there was Listermint, Listerine, many others, Lavoris, I think it's still made. In the 60s, they had Colgate 100. And I guess it went away. I don't know exactly when, probably mid 80s, late 80s. It was just gone, you know. And I don't know if it's still made. I haven't seen it. I doubt it. If it is, it's probably somewhere else, somewhere in the, not in the United States. So I doubt it's here. No, I don't think it's here. So it was, they made it a minty mouthwash, like Scope. So I guess, I believe it was competing with that, you know. And you get mouthwash, we all use it. I use it, you know, like that. Listerine, you know, the regular Listerine, it doesn't, never tasted good. But then they made it with Cool Mint, which I like, and that's good. Because I get, but you know, they said that's the best. That's the best one ever, and it's been on the market for maybe about 100 years. So that's a fascinating history. Wow. Okay. All right. At the beginning of the program, I mentioned I'm going to discuss the Limelight / Excalibur nightclub in Chicago, and I will talk about Jell-O Pudding Pops. I'm going to talk about my memories of both of these topics. Before I get started, I want to mention a couple things. One, of course, it's my health. I will go to the oncologist Thursday, and I am nervous, very, very nervous. My PSA went up, so I don't know what the doctor's going to do. I'm very scared. So it could be anything. It could be maybe it's an infection. Maybe it's, I don't know. Oh, it could be the calcium I've had before. You know, it's elevated. He said the last time I saw him that he might try to make it go down. Maybe that'll help. I don't know. Or try a new medication. I don't know. But I've been tired lately for the past week, worse than ever. You know, I'm just lying down, you know. And but today I'm much better, and yesterday too. But the past few days, no, it was like, oh, it was awful. You know, and especially at late at night, it was like, ugh, I got to go to bed. You know, it's like, but I'm sleeping okay. That's a good thing. You need your sleep. You need your sleep. Like that. Second of all, still get comments from people for Vanish Chicagoland, also the podcast. I had one from another podcast show that he started listening. He sent me he posted this on my page and said he started listening from the first episode. Wow. That was a long time, and he loved it. That's great. That's wonderful. You know, and I should return the favor. I should start listening to him. You know, I will do that when I have time. So that's nice. It's nice. And, you know, yesterday I had breakfast with a friend of mine from school. And we got into more detail. He asked me, when did you start Vanish Chicagoland? When did you start the podcast? What do you talk about? How did you get discovered and all that? I'm not going to explain the whole thing. I just told him everything. And he was, you know, when we were growing up, he was interested in what I do, but not really. But now we're adults or old men. We're in the 60s. He loves it. He has listened to him to a couple episodes, a few. And he's giving me suggestions, and that's great. That's wonderful. I'm very appreciative. You know, I love him for that, and that's wonderful. And, you know, that touched my heart. It really did. You know, I saw him at the reunion last time, you know, for school, you know, from elementary school. So it's if you have a friend who have a long, you know, that you have a friend for a long time, they support you, they love what you do, that's important. That to you, that is awesome to, you know, to support you like that. You know, having friendships is hard, you know, so that means a lot to me. It really does. And it's kind of nice. Okay. Right now, I'm going to talk about the Limelight Excalibur/Excalibur nightclub. Now, this is kind of tricky. The history of it and my memories of it is, memory's kind of sketchy, but the history is it's kind of sketchy too. So I'll do the best I can to explain this place because it's, it was very well known back in the 80s and the 90s and up till today. But has changed businesses over the years. And so I'll start in the beginning of what this place was. Okay, so let's see what we got here. Just bear with me. So, So it was located at 632 North Clark Street. And at first, it was the Chicago Historical Society or the Chicago History Museum. And it was founded in 1856. Now, that's a long, long time ago. And it was there from, how would I say this? yeah, from 1850s all the way to 1932. And they moved it to, it was there for 36 years, and they moved it to the, its present location, 1601 North Clark Street. To tell you the truth, I've never been there. I wish I could go someday because it's, I love history and it sounds fascinating. It really does. It sounds like a place I would spend hours browsing, looking around, and it's like, oh, this is cool. I love this. And so that survived the Chicago fire in 1871. It was one of, it was built, it was fireproof. It was amazing like that. And so then I don't know what was after that. After 1932, what was it over there, that location? I have no idea. You know, I wish someone would, if someone can comment, please do like that. So anyway, they opened in 1985, they opened the Limelight, and it was a, it was a nightclub. Yeah, it was a nightclub, and the nightclub, it was operated by a man. His name was Peter Gatien. I think that's his name. He was from Canada. And he opened the first Limelight nightclub in Florida. And it was, so he brought it back, and let's see. So he opened a few places. He opened in New York, London, and also in Chicago. Now, I went to the Limelight once, one time. I was at DeVry Institute of Technology. I was in college, you know, and I was on a break. Friend of mine from school asked me, you want to go to the Limelight? And I said, yeah, why not? You know. So, did you bring a date? I go, no. I didn't bring a date. So, you know what? He said he was going to bring a date, but he didn't, you know, because, oh, that was weird because he always had a girl with him all the time. And he had a girlfriend. As a matter of fact, he had a lot of girls. Well, we're not going to that. Anyway, so it was just the two of us, and we went, and he picked me up at my house. We drove over there to, you know, found a parking place and went to the nightclub. I think it was a Friday night. Yeah, it was a Friday night. And there was a line outside the place. And it was like, whoa, this is kind of cool. And you can hear the music outside. And I'm looking at the architecture and the structure of this building. And it's like, it's nice. It's like an old-fashioned medieval castle like that. But you don't expect King Arthur or Guinevere or, like, you know, showing up, you know, at the round table. No, this was a nightclub. And we got in, you know. We were overage, so I was about, how old was I? 22, something like that. Yeah, 22. And we got inside. It was very loud, very loud. Oh, my God. But it was music blaring, crowds, and, you know, you keep bumping into each other. They're laughing. They're smoking. Smoking was allowed in the place at the time. You know, you come out there sometimes, and they're like, it's kind of funny. And they had museum cases where I think they were glasses. I'm not sure. And they had dancers, you know, models dancing, you know, like go-go dancers, like in the 60s. And the main dance floor had a DJ, right? That. And I did remember, you know, they advertised this on TV a few times. I think so. Yeah, I believe so. They did. So anyway, we only stayed for about a couple hours. You know, it was getting a little too much. you know, for me. And thank God my friend didn't drink. He drank, but he didn't get drunk and all that. Oh, thank God for that. And so it was fun. It was a fun experience. I never went back as the Limelight. I never went back. So I experienced my first time at the Limelight like that. Yeah, it's kind of nice. And then it, in 1989, it changed into the Excalibur. Now, I did go there when it was Excalibur, and that was like 1990. Yeah, 1990. I went with someone. I had a job then, and someone mentioned. This is what happened. The guy had a date. He had a date with a girl, and at the last minute, she canceled. For some reason, I don't know why. And he said, "Pete, why don't you come with me to Excalibur?" "All right," I said, "I'll meet you there." "All right, I'll meet you there." Well, we drove because the place of work where we worked at, excuse me, was in Wilmette, you know, up north. And we drove, and we had to find parking. You know, can't imagine how parking costs these days now, but it was still expensive. And we went there. So we went to the Excalibur. So I was trying to compare the Excalibur to the Limelight. And it was not the same, really. But they had live entertainment. They had dancing. They also had you can dine. You can have dinner. We did have dinner. I forgot what I ate. And they had pool tables and arcade games. You know, I like pool. I played a little pool with them. So that was fun. Yeah, and like that. And Wednesday nights, they had live band karaoke night. I don't think they had karaoke back then. Maybe they did. I don't know. I didn't see it. Probably. So that lasted longer than the Limelight, this club. So, but there's a legend about this place that it was haunted. It seems like there was a woman that came floating around the castle. She's dressed in white, and you heard like glass shattering or hear footsteps like that. There were some storage rooms there that I think some of the employees refused to go in because she was in there, or they witnessed some woman in white. Maybe it was a joke. I don't know. So it's kind of funny, like that. And so I didn't see it. I didn't see a ghost like that. Listen, if you had a few drinks over there, maybe you do see anything. You know, like pink elephants or purple pussycats. You know, but it was crowded. But if you ask me which was better, I would say Excalibur. That was more fun. Limelight was a little nuts. Yeah, it was crazy. Excalibur was crazy, but it was, they had more variety of fun there to me. So that. I never went back there again. Never. I used to pass by it. I used to, then the company moved down. Well, not my part of the company. That is, you know, the sec. Moved to nearby, on LaSalle Street, and I saw the building. And I never went inside. But I told people, you know, I've been there, you know, like that. And I only saw it. I never went inside. I never went out again with anybody to this place ever. And that was in business for a long time. And then it closed. And then it became Castle Chicago, you know, like that. I don't know how long it lasted. Not sure. It was... another nightclub, And this, I never went there. I don't know how it was. No idea like that. Okay. And then I found some history. After it moved, the Chicago Historical Society moved in 1932. It's been the Lower Order of Moose Lodge. It's probably a moose head there like that. And so Excalibur closed in 2012, and they renovated it. And then then Castle opened, and they made it into 3 nightclubs, a restaurant, and, you know, private parties. So, you know, if you want to reserve a party, go ahead. One thing I want to mention, when it was Excalibur, they had a section, like a nightclub called Vision. I don't know much about that. No idea. Okay. When did it close? So, Castle closed, maybe a couple of years or something like that. I'm not sure. So it closed, later on, and now, it is called Tao, T-A-O. It's like an Asian theme club restaurant. It's still open, so maybe someday I might go see that. And you know, the structure is still there, the building's still the same, but I think it's a little more sedated or relaxed atmosphere. So far it's doing well from what I heard. I don't know. So it's a nightclub, it's a restaurant. So, you know, the River North area is still hopping. You know, people who live in the area go out, you know, have a drink, have dinner, or people from out of town, you know, stay for the weekend and go there and enjoy themselves. That's kind of cool. There it is. You know, when I went to Limelight in the 80s, you know, the 80s was a crazy time, you know, but a fun decade. It was a fun decade. It really was, you know. I still remember the mullets from the hair. And the girls with the crazy makeup. And the few of them dressed like Madonna. those were the days. They really were. Okay. All right. Next up, I'm going to talk about Putty Pups. Okay, I'm going to talk about briefly. Putty Pups, before I get started, I'm going to play a commercial for Putty Pups. This commercial is from the 1980s, and this one does not feature Bill Cosby. I'll explain that after the commercial is played. It's very rare. So just sit back and relax and listen to a commercial from the 1980s for Jell-O Putty Pups. And I'll be right back, folks. Thank you.
We've been so much together, and it's really great. What? The fun just never stops. Good times on the ship.
Jell-O Pudding Pops. It's creamy Jell-O pudding frozen on a stick.
Hey! Let's go on top!
Good friends are for sharing. The things you like a lot. Good times are for sharing. Jell-O Pudding Pops.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Jell-O Pudding Pups. This one featured without Bill Cosby. For reasons we know why. I wanted to, but, you know, he was spending the news for the past few years. He got involved with a lot of legal troubles. You know, I'm not going to talk about that on this show. You know, I like Bill Cosby. I always have, but it's inappropriate for this show. Yeah, but he's been a spokesman for Jell-O for many, many years, since the 70s. And then I think he stopped in the 90s, right around the time The Cosby Show ended. Maybe after that. Yeah. So anyway, the Pudding Pops were they were marketed by General Foods. Bill Cosby, the comedian, he was the marketing he was a spokesman. So he was on TV a lot, you know, peddling those things, you know, and he was with a bunch of kids and all that. He played an ice cream man and all like that. You can see those commercials on YouTube if you like. So that was introduced late in the 70s, according to a website in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then it just took off. And then it became more popular in the 1980s. I don't know if they featured commercials before Bill Cosby did. Maybe. I don't know. But they were a big hit. And then when he was a spokesman for that, it was huge. They were like, oh, wow. It was amazing. And you know, the funny thing about this, my brother started buying those. My mom didn't. I don't know why. She overlooked them for some strange reason. I don't know. I don't know what happened. So my brother, who was living with us at the time, he bought a box of them. And then first were chocolate. They were chocolate. And they said, oh, these are good. You know, I tried one for the first time. Like, it was in the mid-80s. Oh. They were smooth, you know, it's like a popsicle, better than a popsicle, but they were a smooth, it's like gelato in a way, but they were great. And they were skinny, not as thick and wide as a fudgicle, you know, like popsicle, the popsicle brand made. And so it came in three flavors, chocolate, vanilla, and chocolate vanilla swirl. I like the chocolate vanilla swirl, I did, but to be honest, I like the chocolate one. Vanilla was okay. It was good. But if I had a choice between those three, I would choose the chocolate vanilla swirl second and the vanilla third. Those were the only three flavors that I know of. I don't think they made any other, you know, they didn't make other pudding flavors, like, for example, butterscotch, pistachio. What else? Chocolate fudge? No. You know, like the Jell-O brands they made. What other ones? Like banana? No. Lemon? No. So the product went on until the 90s. And then for some weird reason, this stopped. The reason was they were no longer profitable. Which was, yeah, like I said before, it was odd, like that. And so they stopped about, I don't know, mid-90s, late-90s or something like that. I never noticed like that. So that was a shame like that. So they were introduced in 2004 under the brand name Popsicle. Okay. The difference was it was a different shape. And it wasn't the same. And then it lasted about 7 years. And I guess that's the reason why. I guess people want the original flavors or what it was before, you know. So I guess not. That didn't happen, which is a shame. And so the ingredients, you know, it had 90 calories and 3 grams of fat and 15 grams of carbohydrates. So that wasn't too bad. It's a nice dessert. It was sweet, of course. You know, you can eat. I've never eaten two, just one's enough, you know, because I love popsicles, you know, like that. One thing I want to mention, Jell-O came out with Jell-O gelatin pops. I'm not sure when that came out. Not exactly sure. I could find the history of that. No, I don't know. Because maybe about the same time, and I think maybe not. I think it came out much later than that. And the flavors they had of Jell-O gelatin pops were let's see. You know, I had it right here, and I forgot. Okay. I think it was like, yeah, here it is. They had strawberry, orange, grape, and cherry. Okay. I think they came out with other flavors later on. They had, I think they had raspberry. Yeah, they had that. So I don't know when it started. I don't know when it discontinued. So I have no idea. I don't know. I did try a couple. Yeah, I think my mother bought them a couple of times, and they were okay. It's like frozen Jell-O. You know, it's fruity. You know, but I prefer chocolate. So I think those came from the late 80s after Pudding Pops. It did that. Of course, you know, what's famous about Jell-O? You know, Jell-O is a product that's been around for ages. You know, it's been advertised on the radio, television, you know, and people make fun of it. It's still good, you know, like that. I love their puddings, you know. Or they make the golden egg custard, tapioca, you know. And let's see, Jell-O molds, all kinds of wonderful recipes like that. So, you know, in my opinion, I think Jell-O pudding pops should come back. I think it should come back. Why not? You never know. That'd be awesome. But I don't see that happening. No. That's not going to happen. No, that's a shame. Okay. You know, one last thing about this, you know, the Pudding Pops had 90 calories per, you know, bar. The gelatin pops had 35. So if you were on a diet or trying to cut, you know, not to have any sweets or, you know, trying to cut down, this is perfect. You know, that we need that today, especially me. Okay. So that's it for this show. I'll do a recap of what I talked about. I talked about the Limelight / Excalibur nightclub in Chicago. And also talk about Jell-O pudding pops. Okay. And this podcast will be published later on today, wherever podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, also on Overcast, Breaker. Also will be posted on my blog, www.vanishedchicagoland.blog. Also, it'll be on my YouTube channel, Vanished Chicagoland Stories. People still ask me. They even asked me yesterday, where do I find your podcast? Where do I listen to your podcast? What's the easiest way to listen? The easiest way is go to YouTube, do a search, Vanished Chicagoland Stories. You find it, subscribe it, you listen to it, and listen to previous episodes if you like. You know, take your time. And they're always there. You know, people have told me that's the most easiest way to listen. You know, you can listen on your desktop, your iPad, you know, your tablet or your phone, you know. Also, this will be posted on my social media accounts, Facebook, X, formerly Twitter, LinkedIn, Reddit, Instagram. There's the link. What else? It's on Threads, also TikTok, also Blue Sky. It's not a new app. It's been around for a while. You can check it out. You know, I heard Blue Sky now. Anyone can sign up. You don't need an invitation. Just sign up and you'll find me there. You can find me there. Okay. I will not do a podcast episode Tuesday. I have somewhere to go, which is a shame, but yeah, like I said, I have somewhere to go, so I won't be able to do one. I'll do one next weekend, and then I'll just, you know, and I'll think of something I'll talk about. I have an idea what I'm going to discuss, you know, so yeah, I just thought of something. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so this is Pete Costanis, your host for Vanishing Chicagoland Stories. Thank you for joining me. I had a wonderful time talking to you. Today is a nice sunny day, kind of chilly. It's February. You know, yesterday was cold. Ooh, very cold. You know, I didn't do a podcast episode because I had breakfast with my friend, the one I talked about earlier. And, you know, I needed a break. So that was good. Okay. So here's bye-bye for me, and here's a little traveling music with Ray Rayner saying bye-bye-bye. Take care, everyone, and so long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.